We're going. Let's just do this. What? Anyway.
All right.
Oh, was I supposed to ask you for a... Oh, man, it's been so while. I was supposed to ask you for a thing, right? I'm supposed to ask you for a sound test.
Oh, no, that was 2016.
Okay. I think this is really drowning you out. I don't know if I can turn it down. Or maybe we should just fade it out at this point. There, how's that?
No. I mean, we don't fade it out, right? You gotta have the hit. You gotta have the...
Yeah.
The Rooksop hit coming up.
Yeah, you do. But I was just saying, maybe we should, let me get close to the microphone. Maybe we should, because at the end it'll go longer, so now it's like, I think here is where you fade it out. Because right there where it was the little pause, I'm going to go back so we can do that pause again. It'd make it a little more dramatic. Nope. Okay. You know the pause I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Very important.
Okay, and I think your voice and the playback is a little bit off because I thought you might say something right there. So,
I don't know.
We're gonna keep doing this.
Hey, are we rusty or what?
Dang. No, yeah, we're real rusty.
Welcome to JBC.
Okay, so there, that's what I thought. It's off a little bit for you, but it's okay. I mean, it's the thought that counts, right?
Well, you know, next time we do it, we'll get back to, like, jump into an intro, and then when that little pause happens, normally we're saying something funny, and then it hits.
It's poignant, like, at that point. Or
mentioned JBC, like, yeah, right around that hit, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's live broadcasting radio skills, which I don't know if we've ever had.
It's live broadcasting. It is, because we don't bother going back and, like... I mean, we're known to add things in, but it's not like we go back and edit the darn thing for, you know, like they would on a...
Well, I think we always, when we do the intro, there's not a whole lot we can do to edit it, so it's kind of like being on the radio just for a moment, except it's not. Anyway.
Yeah, because we don't have this thing where we're a multi-billion-dollar podcast, and they have all kinds of people working for them. We're just two slobs living their lives.
Well, it's been a few months, and then before that it had been 18 months, and I think before that it had been like 6 months. We're like, if you are our listener returning to our show,
we've done
our show very seldomly for the last few years, then we used to do it once a week for like 5 years, like 4.5 years
long
or something like that.
Years, yeah.
So we're kind of back. I hope that we can do it more because I miss it. I don't know about you, Jason, but
very much.
My name is Joe Neal.
Oh, hey, I'm Jason Mark.
Yeah, Jason Mark, my brother from another mother, but the same grandmother.
And just so you guys know,
that we used to say all the time.
If we get back into this, we're better than this right now. This sounds a little like two dudes farting around who don't know any better. We do have experience. Our timing's good. We just need to get back on that, you know, that, what's the, on that vibe, that tip, that, I don't know. I don't know.
We need to go get back into a flow state.
A flow state. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the good kind of flow, not that bad kind of flow, because we all know about
that.
The
good kind of flow.
You know the problems I've been having with flow.
Yeah. We want to get into, like, a really exciting flow state.
Sorry, that was a quote from, from Syphil and Ollie, when I said, "Oh, you know the problems."
That was Syphil and Ollie, huh?
Yeah, wow. I said, "Oh, you know the problems." And then Ollie will say something about people got, in this case, it would be problems. Wait, no, what did we say? Mm-hmm. Problems with what? You know the problems I've been having.
Flow.
Flow. Sorry, I already forgot. So Ollie will say something like, "You know that people have problems with flow," and then Syphil will go, "You know, I got some, you know, I got a serious flow problem." And then Ollie would go, "Yeah, you got a serious ass flow problem," or something like that. And that's what I was hoping for, but you didn't know, so it's okay. And I also just,
This is a lot of people don't know this, but our podcast really has a few very strong influences. And I think it was unbeknownst to me, but one of them was Syphil and Ollie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The timing. The timing.
The silliness.
The silliness.
The nonsensiness.
The nonsensiness.
All of these things that I love. But
the taking it... there's a line, I think, and I'm not saying which is the good side or bad side, but there's a line between taking yourself too seriously and not taking yourself seriously enough, you know? Like, you're just right there at that sandwich point, and I think that, like, the humor, the cringe humor of a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they're on that sort of, like, almost too, right? Whereas Sif and Ollie are on that side where it's, like, almost not quite enough, and neither's better than the other. It's good for its own. But does that make sense, or am I just...
Yeah, and I don't know where we are. Like, if we're in a sweet spot, or we're in a flow state...
Yeah.
I think that... I think it's nonsense and obscenity, and our flow state is exciting, like the flowing of my ejaculate into Jason's mouth.
Yes, like that. Just to go ahead and get back to it.
That's what I'm trying to do here. I'm testing the water.
Because right now we're just talking about. And it's boring. We gotta, ejaculate. Let's jump into it.
I think everybody knows. This is like our 220th or 221st episode or something.
Something like that.
Like, if we go too long without me
mentioning your ejaculate
about either sex or violence, in some, you know, in a humorous context, then I'm gonna start spacing out. Like, I need to speak of filthy things.
Yeah. Like ejaculate.
Or disturbing things. Or both. Yeah. A nice combination of sex and violence, and my humor is how I like it.
I'll tell you about sex and violence just to make things move. I knew a guy once, nice guy, and he claimed that he always lucid dreamt. He was all lucid, and whenever he's dreaming, it was lucid. He claimed that he participated in the decision-making of every dream he's ever had, and...
I mean, hey, side note, I was pretty good at that. We come really? Back to that, because I was really into that. But anyway, or maybe you're talking about me.
I'm not talking about you. No, but I will talk about you.
No. I haven't lucid dreamt in a long time, but you're talking about another guy who was, like, really good at it, and go on.
Yeah, and so I was going to say, you've dreamt that way before, which you just said you did. I have before, too. Usually when I really, I'm having a dream, I can do whatever I want. I go fuck someone.
I like to fly.
Oh, yeah, I just go find someone to have sex with. I mean, and they're willing.
Oh, yeah, that's good. See, that never works out. I'm not good at it. Everybody always, like, turns into my grandma, or I end up, like, just, like, driving a Jeep or something, and I'm like, I'm trying to fuck here.
Yeah. What do you mean shift into the third? I'm trying to fuck here. You use your turn signal. Sorry,
like,
about that.
Really, that's a failed... That was a failed effort for me almost every time. Like, things would start out pretty good, but then, like, you know, the beautiful woman would, like, mutate into some kind of fucking terrible beast or something. It was, like, the thing. Like, John Carpenter.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I hear you. It was me, too. Like, either... Well, I never finish in the dream. It's not at ever not point of, like, success, you know, and that's frustrating. And then, also, you know, I like to start things off down low, if you know what I'm saying. Like, to get sloppy there. And every time I do that, just
related though, my infant was chewing on a cardboard box.
Oh my goodness!
This morning, I was like, "Hey, stop chewing on that box!" And I was like, "Plenty of time to chew on boxes later." Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to know if I've ever. This is a total aside. I'm sorry, but stop chewing on that box. But meaning you're talking to someone who's actually, you know, performing cunnilingus, however you pronounce it.
You stop chewing on that box.
Yeah, how is that ever going to be said? Like, if you're in a situation where you're viewing that and you don't want them to do it because, you know, you're outraged or it's inappropriate or...
That's really funny.
You're going to scream. You're going to yell it. You're not going to use the word box. That's not going to happen. No one's going to say...
That's the thing. Yeah. That's not the right language if you're in that situation. If you would ever be in that situation. That's kind of like that George Carlin thing where he's like... When does anyone ever say, stop sucking my dick or I'm calling the cops?
Exactly, yeah. In that voice, in that tone. What were we talking about? Stop chewing on that box.
When you're lucid dreaming, you like to start out down low, which made me think of chewing on a box. Right. Anyway, go ahead.
That's what I do. And it's always weird. It's not unpleasant, but it's not, I don't know, it's not, you know, what I'm expecting, or at least what I think I should be expecting, but... This guy...
Does it turn into, like, a wildebeest, or, like, you end up playing the harmonica or something? That's what would happen to me.
No, it's just a weird... It's a weird sort of texture, viscosity thing. It's hard to describe. Anyway, and it always happens, and I wonder if, you know, in dreams, if you expect it to happen. He's like, every time this happens, my foot falls off. And there it goes again, because it's only half lucid dreaming. But this guy, his name is Jimmy. Nice guy. Nothing special about him, per se. He's just a dude. I mean, he wasn't like an uber genius or a musical this or a savant that. Just normal, cool guy. But he claimed he could always, every single time he had a dream, he was lucid. And so I wanted to ask him, well, what is it that then you do with that, right? Because I know what I would do, texture one way or another. But he said, so what it happens is I always have to go save my wife from, you know, kidnappers or whatever. But because I know it's a dream, I can use as many guns as I want. So I get myself a lot of guns.
Wow.
And, yeah. So he goes and gets guns and then goes and saves his wife from, you know, kidnappers or ogres or whatever.
That's pretty sophisticated. Isn't it? Over here like fucking John Carpenter's The Thing.
Well, that's what I mean.
Abandoned field.
Is what I always do a reflection of some deep inner, you know, core soul part of me where that's ripped me down to my fundament, and that's all I am, is just a horny little git, right? Whereas this guy, his fundament, his, you know, core soul touchstone is rescuing his wife, heroics, or shooting guns, which is kind of what I'm trying to do. Violent,
maybe even sadistic heroics. Look, I'm just a guy with a taco shop.
I know what you're saying, though. Yeah, but yeah, so
To me, I like to fly around, and I gotta see when I tried to fuck, it didn't work, and maybe that, you know, hell, let's analyze that. I don't know what the hell that means, but when I tried to fly around, that seemed to work. I could do the superhero thing. I just couldn't. Cool. I couldn't.
You couldn't.
Well, my sexual partner in my lucid dreams could not maintain a solid shape, or like a consistent identity. It's really weird, and it really did turn into my grandma once, which okay. is just like, okay, just
oh, not happening. It leaves a sting on you, a stain.
By
on
By the
you.
Way, not our grandma, the other grandma.
Okay,
I don't know if that's comforting to you, but.
You know what's discomforting to me? Realizing I didn't even think about it when I should have. I should have been, hey, which one, man? Back off. Yeah. That's just wrong. It is just wrong, but it's, you know, it's not your fault.
Why are you always trying to fuck our grandma in lucid dreams? I'm not. That's the point. I'm not trying to. I can't help it.
I think you're always trying to fuck our grandma in lucid dreams would be the greatest name for a rock album song. Like, that would be the title of the song. Right? That would be, you're always trying to fuck our grandma in your lucid dreams. It's yeah, just so
that's
many.
A prog rock song.
Bro. Oh, absolutely. It has so many layers. It's got so many levels of where do you want to go with that, right? You know, in lucid dreams.
Where do you want to go with this? Like, I didn't expect that we were going to stick with anything. I'm already kind of having fun here, just randomly wandering around from topic to topic. I do get the sense, though, that like maybe earlier you were trying that you had a point that I cut off.
And, no.
I wanted to ask you, would you like to return to an earlier point, or was that all in my imagination?
No. I mean, I'm more than happy, unless it's uncomfortable for you. I'm more than happy to talk about the literary genius that would be involved in analyzing the title of a rock song. That was, you're always trying to fuck her grandma in your lucid dreams. You can take that as a metaphor.
I like it exactly how it is because it's intriguing because it's out of context. If you just saw it as a title, you're always trying.
You're always trying to figure it out.
No. You're the title of the song is. You're always. Now that I'm trying to say it, like seriously, it's really hitting me how funny it is. You're always trying to. I can't even say it out loud.
Oh man, it's good to be back in the flow.
Right. I've got to try and say it out loud.
Okay.
It's really not even that funny, but like I just want to see if I can actually say the whole thing.
Okay, you can. You got this.
It is. It is. Can you say it? I want to see.
If I can say it, yeah.
With this? Go ahead.
No, I can say it. I think I can say it, but again, I'm thinking about what tone to say it in. If it's just a title, you just read it. But
say it like as totally as seriously and pretentiously as a member of a prog rock band might say it.
Okay, you want me to say it like the singer would, or do you want me to say it like I think a person who used it in real life would say it?
You're the pretentious, virtuosic guitar player from the prog rock band.
Okay.
And what you're going to do is you're going to start talking about the composition of the song.
Okay,
so you need to mention the name of the song. Dead serious.
Okay, all right. So when we were writing this particular ditty, we knew that it was supposed to capture, it was destined to capture a certain destiny, a kind of, forward-looking, futuristic nowness. And so I was talking to Craigenold, and he was having paint or something, and he said, you know, I said, stop right there, Craigenold. Stop trying to fuck our grandma in your lucid dreams. And, what more can I say? I don't think I will.
And scene. I really like that. So here it is. I'm looking at the album cover. I don't know what the name of the band is, but I'm like, let's look at this. There's only two tracks, and they're each 53 minutes long. Because it's a prog rock band. Name of the first track is You're Always Trying to Fuck. You're Always Trying to Fuck. I can't believe how hard this is. I'm sorry, man. But I have to do this.
Do it. I'm just writing down notes.
Okay. I'm blowing my nose. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Okay.
This is really messing me up.
It's all right. You can do this. Get a tissue.
I just gotta get through this.
Yeah. Take a moment.
Looks like the name of the first track is... You're always trying to fuck our grandmother while you're lucid dreaming. Okay. I did it.
Yeah.
There it is. That's the name of the song.
Well, that's...
Thank you for your patience there.
No, absolutely.
That was ridiculous.
Obviously, it's going to be the name of today's episode, but sorry for the echoiness of voice.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Some way or another. Oh. Or part of the blemish, but I do think, for me, I think the first time you said it is you're always trying to fuck our grandma in your lucid dream. And that's where I was going
That's good. That's just as difficult. I guess I tried and failed so many times I forgot the original thing.
I just think
it's great that there's something about mentioning lucid dreams in the context of like prog rock. That just seems particularly pretentious for some reason. But it's not just I fucked your grandma. It's you're always trying to fuck our grandma.
Right.
Okay. So that's it. Moving on.
No, we're not moving on. And then is it in your lucid dreams or is it in your lucid dream? Because like the latter would be, I think, have a more of a poetic umph to it.
I think it would, but the fact is in your lucid dreams directly points at the fact that it's happened many, many times.
Yeah, it's like the metaphor will not be that the lucid dream is the metaphor. Now the metaphor will be that you're always trying to fuck our grandma. And it's not always you always do, right? You said trying to. You didn't say. Or did you say, why are you always fucking our grandma? Is it always or always trying to? Because I just thought it was trying to.
Why are you always trying to fuck our grandma in your lucid dream?
Oh, so instead of just you're always trying, it's why are you always? Okay. So it turns into a question, which is a different kind of metaphor, right? I'm just saying this guy, Jimmy, I don't know why he would be heroic, I would be horny, and you would be flying in your dream. What does that mean about you?
Flying away from a scenario where a beautiful woman turned into our grandma and then turned into John Carpenter's The Thing, and I had to fly away because I was so utterly disturbed by my lack of skill. at lucid dreaming.
That would be the thing, is like, in order to get
good and whatever psychiatric issues led to the to me putting my dick in a horrifying monster.
Right. Or pulling it out of, because ostensibly when you put it in, it was still just your grandma, not the monster yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I would never see.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought maybe we could explain to our listener what the clownward spiral is, because here's the thing. As we this ridiculous podcast for many years, I think it served like a psychological or like a cathartic purpose.
Yes.
For us, like it really isn't for anybody else. So, like, we tend to make each other laugh, and this is the kind of little playground that we've created for ourselves that allows us to do that.
Yeah.
To greatest effect.
Sort of like, you know, when you go to see a sadomasochistic call girl, it's not about, you know, it's not about the naughtiness of it. That is what you get out of it. It's about the sort of surviving it, you know, like you chose to do it, and it was antithetical to pleasure, but you took pleasure in the fact that you survived it, mastered it, owned it, made it a part of you, put it on your t-shirt, sold it at rock concerts, right? That kind of thing.
I never thought of it that way, but yes, that really fits. The fact is, the frequency of doing the podcast went way down. I don't know if it's because of, you know, how busy you got at the car wash. Or actually, we need to catch up on that, because I'm not even sure. Last time we talked was a few months ago. I don't know how that business is going. I'm the ruler of the sixth dimension of Taco Hell, and that's my own taco cart, but it exists in another dimension, and it's the sixth layer of the seven-layer burrito of Taco Hell.
That was a Klein bottle of metaphors stacking on top of each other, things representing things that were representing other things. That was, I got to go back. I got to remember that. I'm writing that down. That's going to be the other name of today's episode.
That bends reality like one might bend, like fold over a quesadilla and dip it into hot sauce.
But
the hot sauce is your soul.
I'm so sorry. I'm literally gonna pass out. Your soul. I'm literally. Joe. I can't. I'm so sorry. This is not good podcasting. Just one guy wheezing. We have a heart attack. Oh my god. That's the name of today's podcast title. That's the hot sauce is your soul. Okay, all right.
Anyway, that was just kind of a side note. I mean, we can catch up on our professional and personal lives.
Okay. Yeah.
But the thing is, what this podcast does for us, there we kind of like brought in a substitute outlet.
Yeah.
Via text,
right.
which we call the clownward spiral, and sometimes we include some of our other friends and people that have been involved with the show before.
Yeah, never our grandma though.
Never our grandma, and
never. I mean, just going back to anything else that came up earlier that sort of bounced around in your head, listener, and you're like, wait a minute, what? No, never with our grandma. Just. Never.
And what a clownward spiral is simply just a I think it all began with something that we didn't come up with, but we went crazy
with just, Cheese Whiz.
We dove right in, we leaned in, and we did other things in.
But never
what was it that we had a whole episode about it? I think the name of the episode was Alaskan King Crimson.
I'll write that down so I can reference it in the notes. Alas, go ahead.
And it was really kind of the first No, it wasn't. It was the first time we recognized that we need to do these types of things more often. Yes. But it's just it's something that's posited. It's like well, here's a theme or whatever, and then we kind of lock our brains onto it and we try to just give examples. Like, let me, yeah. Speaking of examples, the first real clownward spiral that I identified as one wasn't even our idea. It was make a band edible, right?
Yep.
Bread Zeppelin. We had hundreds each.
Yeah.
I think. Me and you both had many, many, many.
So yeah, like Bread Zeppelin. What are some of the other ones you remember that you can think of just now? Like
9-inch Snails.
Yeah.
That's not a particularly good
one. No, but still Escargot. Yeah, yeah.
I'm struggling to find ones that were really fun. I mean, there was a lot of them that were funny. There was, it almost became like a quantity over quality thing. Like,
oh, absolutely, just,
you know,
yeah.
We were rattling them off, you know?
Yeah, the food fighters, right? Is it food fighters, food fighters? You know, food fighters, people in the food fight, you know? Or I just feel like we should give the listener a few examples so that they realize it's not, because they might be thinking, oh, you're just taking the name of a food and sticking it onto. No, you change things so that it resonates, right? Yeah, like.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm having a hard time with it, but like, let me give you
the Dave Matthews bowl of chili. Not quite there. You can't just mash them together. It's got to sound like band.
Yeah, see, that's not good.
It's Dave Matthews raisin band.
It's got to work.
Raisin brand.
Like for instance, if the clownward spiral was make band names more Jewish.
Yeah.
Right? Then yeah. I've got, like, that would be like Huey Lewis and the Jews.
Yep.
And Motley Jew.
Motley Jew. And
Yiddish Walla. And
Jew Cut 1000.
Hebrew Springsteen.
There you go. Yeah. And then.
Oh, yeah. And Boys to Mench.
That's a good one. Yeah, and then if we were
clownward spirals, the reason why I bring them up is because we've had years of these, and like I think there's probably volumes of them. Like they would fill, like we do them all the time, and they're like there's just so much of them.
We could print them out.
Return to the show.
Yeah,
we could even have like a little segment where we kind of scroll back into some recent clownward spirals and just read some off for fun. Maybe I don't know. That's just an idea.
Is that something you want to do now or? A segment.
I'm actually scrolling to see if I can find any good ones.
Well, there was one, you know, the recent one, and I think you initiated it on purpose. Because sometimes the clownward spiral doesn't start, it starts spontaneously. One of us will say, you know, like the other day I was walking down the street and I saw a duck and it was eating cheese, and I never knew how much I enjoyed going to Ducky Cheese, and it's terrible, but that's a bad joke. Another person said, okay, I can get in on this. I'm going to add animal names to kid amusement halls, right? And then, anyway. But the one I'm talking about, you started on purpose, and it was a clownward spiral, but it was a different flavor one. It was one where you said, here's the name of a band, and here's their first three albums.
Yeah, I just wanted silly band names with their albums, with a few examples of their albums. And that exploded into, you know, really like probably 30 pages of shit.
Yeah.
And that's how they work, though.
And you brought in another.
I'm going back here, and you had, you started one about let's make fun of, I don't know, DC villains or something.
Okay.
But then you, but it stopped there because you exhausted absolutely every single one by the end of your list.
Oh, I see.
And then it was over. Here, I'll read some.
Okay.
So you actually called it.
Oops. Well,
it wasn't Batman. It was Batshit Crazy Man, which, okay, not bad. But then it keeps getting better, though, because it's Bruised Wang. Throbbing.
Yeah.
Pantyworth. Commissioner Hard-On. Which I really like. There's the poker. There's gnarly queef. There's scat. There's scat woman. The piddler. Poo face. Okay.
12 years old.
Poo face. That's, yeah, that is. That's really.
It's villainy.
That's pre-teen. I love it. Scare crotch. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's what. Scare crotch. What is this one? I don't even know what you're referring to here. Mr. Pease?
Well, there's Mr. Freeze.
Oh, and he's just peeing. Okay, yeah, so you were, you were 12 years old that
yeah, day. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then there's Poison Heine.
Yeah. I think that was... I think we also end up, when we do these, there's a sort of a... maybe a hidden second rule, which sort of, you know, carries the tone... Right, because all those that I just did, those were all, not only were they, you know, naughty, but they were like schoolboy naughty, right? Like Dewface and Mr. Pease, right? They were all, I could have gone, you know, way more, you know, alarmingly adult away from that. Like, Dewface is one thing, but if I had said, instead of, I had said, something along the lines of, this knife shall split you into... face. I don't know. You know what I mean? That was a bad example, but
that, you know. I appreciate, I get it, like when, actually when you lock into this, like childish, filthy humor thing, and like I can really get on board with that.
Yeah.
You know, such as the sophistication of my sense of humor.
Yes.
You know, some of these things that we do, well, I'll suggest when in episodes that we maybe come to the episode with, like, you know, having scrolled back and like found some good ones, because I mean, there really is a lot of material here. I would love to just say some of these things out loud. That's what's on my mind. Is this is all fun to read and everything, but I'd like to just hear these things. I'd like to hear somebody just speak them, whether it's me or you
or Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, or Morgan Freeman. Here, speaking of Morgan Freeman, here's one where we had, we're pitching movies. This is from like back in the day in JBC, where you do a whole movie pitch and then the twist is the name of the movie.
Yes, like, I love those. Those are those are almost joke.
Here, I'll do one while during the Royce up. May I?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
An American journalist covering international affairs is approached by the CIA to work as a spy after accidentally uncovering a piece of intel that might trigger or prevent World War III. When he learns that the CIA intends to launch the war instead of avoid it, he becomes a double agent for Russia, who suddenly seems to be pushing for an end to the conflict. When he's betrayed by Russia and his family killed, it becomes clear that Russia and the U.S. are both involved in the most diabolical war profiteering scheme in history. Our protagonist then goes into hiding and must choose to either execute his plan to save the world or initiate a mutually assured atomic destruction of all nations and the subsequent extinction-level nuclear winter, having lost faith in humanity. It's called, the name of the movie is Nonstop Jugs Pumping. I actually misread that. It's Nonstop Pumping Jugs Part 7, Double Dribble.
You know what? I know I toot our own horns, and I praise us as comedy geniuses, which clearly we're not. But that you did that intro thing so long. Like, most of the time the trailer is like, in a world where a man has no hands, no, right?
You know what? This is just a movie pitch. I like went into movie trailer mode, but this is written as a pitch. This is just like, here's my idea for a movie. And I like break down like synopsis style. So I totally went into like trailer mode, but that's not how it's written. Like, that was supposed to be a pitch. And it's like, oh yeah, what's the movie called? Oh, well, it's Nonstop Jugs Pumping Part 7, Double Dribble.
Well, it's sort of the swap of the aristocrats, right?
Oh, and it says here too, like, sorry, it's part two, not part seven. Of course it's part two, because it's Double Dribble.
Right, yeah. The two looks like a seven, I get you, yeah. But yeah, I thought when you went into trailer speak mode. It was like, draw it out so that the punch is even harder. It's like, in a world where everyone drives Chryslers, it's Steven Spiel's con in lick me, taint me twice.
Nice. Well, here, I'm going to read one from you, and then I can't do the... I used to do the scream at the end of the Rucksack, but I can't do that anymore. Mm. I'm not in a place where I can scream, so we're going to have to think up something different. That's okay. We can change our conventions. Yeah, but here's one that, here's one that you responded.
Okay. Again? Do a loud whisper.
Okay, I'll do that. But first, I'm going to read how you responded to Jugs Pumping. You had your own at, like, immediately after you typed one out. So here's the pitch. When the new kid's mom violates the unwritten rules of etiquette at an elementary school drop-off, a concerned neighbor tries to help, but is rudely rebuffed. The two moms are soon at odds, with sabotage attempts by each escalating to an all-out war, while the kids gleefully capture it all on video and post it on TikTok. It's called Cum Dripping Anal Grandmothers 3, Return of the Gaper.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to do a whisper scream, okay?
All right.
Your soul is a bowl of hot sauce.